I said, the Lord is good. Oh, my goodness. I'm just looking in his wonderful face. We've been talking about who are you? Do you know who you are? Listen, if you don't know who you are, then the devil can lie to you. If you don't know who you are, it'll cause you to mess up in what you're saying and what you're doing. The Lord needs you to know who you are. Everybody wants to know who you are. The devil wants to know, do you know who you are? And so we've been talking about, first of all, everybody in this room, you've got a purpose. You've got a purpose. Paul said this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Turn to your neighbor and say, by the grace of God, you are what you are. You are what you are. You are who you are. Amen. And so God's given us a purpose. I jokingly was talking about, well, it wasn't a joke. It was the truth. Way back in the day, I had an exercise bike in my room. And that bike ended up becoming a clothes rack. And it really worked well because it had handles and it had a seat and it had everything. But how many of you know it did work? It really did. And it was good as that. But how many of you know that was not its design purpose? And because I was using it for something else, I couldn't use it for its design purpose. And that's what you've got to figure out in your life. Are you doing what God designed you to do? Listen, you and I were created for God. God was not created for us. I don't know if you get that. See, Jesus is the Lord of our life. And you were created. Everything was created by him and for him. I was created on purpose by God to do something. And I have a purpose. You say, sure you do. You're a preacher. But everyone in this room, whether you're a preacher or not a preacher, and besides that, you are a minister of reconciliation. So everybody in this room is a minister. I know everybody likes to throw around titles, but you can give yourself one. I am a minister of reconciliation. Amen. And you don't have to have a title to do something for God, but we're all called to do something for God. But everything you do, you need to do with the purpose of God. And you're never going to find out your purpose in life until you check in with the Creator. God is the one that created you to do something. If you're trying to find out who you are outside of him, or you're just trying to be something on Sunday morning to please him, and you want to go to heaven someday, that's great. That's wonderful. I'm glad you're born again. I'm glad you're going to heaven. But if you want to be happy, if you want to be content, if you want to be full of joy on the earth, you're going to have to find out who you are. Amen. Who are you? Who are you? It's not your decision. It's your discovery. And you need to discover, if you're 80 years old and you don't know who you are, you can discover it today. If you're 5 years old, you can discover it. That's why we're teaching them to children along this line too, when we're doing this, because I want them to know who they are. I mean, how many know if you could figure out who you are at 4 or 5 years old, life would be a whole lot better. Amen? God created every one of us to do something, to be something. So it's important that we figure that out, and it's important that we find out who we are. What am I living for? What is my purpose in life? And so all that is found only in God. A lot of times we get this messed up, and we begin to try to figure it out for ourselves. I don't often look at the Message Bible, but Romans 8:6 is something I want to look at out of the Message, and there's a whole lot of words up there, and so I'm going to have to try to find... obsession with self, about the middle. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. In other words, if all I'm looking for is to figure out how to make me happy, it's a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite. In other words, you can't focus on you and focus on God at the same time. Focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God. So I'm not trying to get you to think about you. I'm trying to get you to your purpose in life, which came from your Creator. And when you get to the Creator, when you figure out who Jesus is, you'll begin to figure out who you are. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what God is doing, and God isn't pleased with being ignored. So you can't go through life and do your own thing. We have to find out what the purpose God has for us. And if there's a purpose, then there's a plan. How many of you know that what I talked to you about last week is that if you're going to be successful in your finish, how many of you know where your finish line is? You remember where your finish line is? Everybody remember where your finish is? Is it heaven? It's not heaven. It's the judgment seat of Christ. That's where you're going to get your rewards for obeying God on the earth. So if you think about everything, the plan of God for my life, if I live every day like I'm about to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, then you can receive what God has for you. You have to be comfortable. You have to know I'm living every day. I'm comfortable right now today going to stand before Jesus. I'm very comfortable with going right now to stand before Jesus. Very comfortable. I know right now, if I went right now, I would hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." I would receive crowns for obeying him. And I would have those crowns to put at his feet. I am very confident and comfortable with that. Are you? Are you? So, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not talking about being a preacher. I'm talking about you obeying God in your life. You can obey God as an accountant. I couldn't. You could obey God as a school teacher. I thought about that one too. I can't. You can obey God and you know, whatever it is, whatever God has called you to do. You know, sometimes you have to, in order to obey God, when you start having children, you have to put your career on hold in order to obey God. Everybody's different. You can't run somebody else's race. Your race is personal between you and the Lord, and only you are really the one that knows if you're truly obeying God. But you got to get comfortable with, today, if I went and stood before the judgment seat of Christ, would I receive a crown so I could put it at his feet? Because really, the only thing you have to give him is your obedience. Don't get too quiet on me, y'all. And I know you're thinking. I know your wheels are turning. And yet, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." He's not necessarily calling you that you got to go to India tomorrow and win the whole nation. But if he told you to send an offering to somebody who is, then that's your obedience. Do it. Sometimes we get these things out of skew. It's like when we start thinking about these kind of messages, we think, well, I got to do this and I got to do this. No, you just got to hear from God and figure out the plan for your life and obey it. And it's not the same as everybody else. And really, when you're in obeying it, it's not a bunch of guilt and condemnation. Amen. How many of you know, we look at Ephesians 2:10. He prearranged for you a good life. Amen. And there's seasons of your life. And you may be in a season of preparation, but preparation is never wasted. Or you may be in a season where he pulled you back and you're like, I don't know what's going on, Lord. This is altogether different. Well, get ready, because it's 3, 2, 1, and like a slingshot, off you go. Amen. You don't know. You just, every season of your life, even if it looks like decrease, then you don't know what season you're in. Just obey in the season that you're in and enjoy it and be happy about it. Amen. I'm just telling you this, that if you don't know who you are, then it's very difficult for God to use you. And where you find out your purpose is you find it from your Creator. John's Gospel, chapter number 1, verses 19 through 23. The Gospel of John. Here John the Baptist is, and a very important man, you know, and for the things of God. And it says, and this is the record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" Turn to your neighbor, ask him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and he denied not. And he said, "I'm not the Christ." So in order to know who you are, sometimes you got to know who you're not. Who are you? Well, I know one thing I'm not. I'm not a sinner. I'm not even a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner. I was saved by grace. But right now, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You got to be able to identify who you are. Where are you from? Well, I'm from Illinois. I'm from Alabama. I'm from heaven. If you begin to identify yourself spiritually before you do naturally, because people ask, "Who are you? What do you do?" What do they want to know? Who are you and what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? Well, I'm this, I'm a that. Well, guess what? I'm a born-again one. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a this. I'm a that. I'm from heaven. You say, well, that's weird. Well, guess what? You've at least got to know that so that you can identify who you are. Because until you know who you are and where you're from, you're not going to be what God called you to be. Amen? You do. You got to know who you are. Who are you, John? Who are you? Guess what? He didn't say, "I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out." Just trying to figure it out. Where did he figure out where he was from? Well, I bet mom and dad told him who he was from. Parents in this room, you have a lot to do with your children figuring out who they are. There's a lot of mess going on in our society right now. Them trying to tell them who they are and who they can be. You better be telling them who they are, and you better be telling them who they can be. And you better be doing it from the Word of God. We're here as a church to supplement what you're telling them. Amen. You need to be able to tell them who they are, because they're all trying to tell them who they are and who they can be. Only God has a right to tell a child who they are, because He knew them in their mother's womb. Amen. All right. He said, I'm not the Christ. But look at this. Verse 21. And he asked him, well, what then? Are you Elijah? Nope. Are you the prophet? Nope. Then he said to them, well, who are you? That we may give an answer. Everybody's trying to figure out who you are. The devil wants to know if you know who you are. Heaven needs to know if you know who you are. Everybody wants to know. People around you need to know who you are. We got to give an answer. What do you say about yourself? Verse 23. He said, I am the voice. He didn't say, I think so, I hope so. He said, I am. Where did he get that from? Mom and dad told him. Number two, if you study around this scripture, you'll find out that God told him. Because he said, the one who told me who I was said that there's somebody coming whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. I baptize you with water under repentance, but he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And then he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Why? Because the Father told him who he was, also told him who Jesus was. I'm going to get ahead of myself. If you don't know who Jesus is to you, if you don't know who he has made you to be, it's going to be very hard for you to figure out who you are. He said, I'm the voice, the one crying in waters, make straightway the Lord. And he, as said Isaiah the prophet. And so then I want to look at verse 25 and 26. Because if you know who you are, then you'll know what to do. Because he said this, and they asked him and said to him, why do you baptize if you're not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet? Verse 26. John answered saying, I baptize you with water, but there stands one among you whom you know not. In other words, this is who I am, and because this is who I am, this is what I do. I've come, he said, I'm the voice in the wilderness to prepare the way. This is what I'm doing. This part, this baptizing thing that you don't understand is what I'm doing to help prepare the way. I'm not him. I'm not Jesus. I'm not Elijah. I'm not Jeremiah. I'm not one of those prophets. I'm the voice in the wilderness. As said, Elijah the prophet identified me. So he found out who he was. I believe mom and dad told him. Come on, you know, that was a big story to tell. But you know what? You with your children, you have a story to tell. You have something to tell them. You can tell them about how you came to the Lord. You can tell them how their life is going to be so much better because you serve God, because you serve the Lord. You can tell them what their future is going to be because you're in a covenant relationship with the Most High God. You can, and the Lord will speak to you, and then you can find out who you are because it's written about you. Not specifically, but there's a lot written about you. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I know I keep saying that one, but somebody needs to really hear that today. It's not who you were a sinner and you were saved by grace, but now you've changed and you are the righteousness of God. You got to identify yourself correctly. Because how you identify yourself determines what you say and what you do. I mean, I'm not going to take time to look at it, but in Matthew 16, remember Peter was having a conversation with Jesus. And Jesus, I'm going to look at it. Matthew 16, I was going to try to hurry up, but I'm not going to hurry up past this. Matthew 16, verse 13. Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked disciples, everybody wants to know this. Who do men say that I am? What are people saying about me? Who do they say I am? How are they trying to identify me? And then verse 14. And some said, John the Baptist. I don't understand that one because he's alive. I don't get that one. John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah. I guess they didn't have Facebook back then. One of the prophets, verse 15. And he said to them, but this is very important. Who do you say I am? Listen to me. You'll never find out who you are until you know who he is. Never. You'll go through life trying to figure yourself out, a midlife crisis, an end of the life crisis, all these crises because you don't know who he is. You'll never know who you are until you know who he is and who he is to you. Then he said this, but who do you say that I am? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, what? You're the Christ. In other words, I know exactly who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then what did Jesus say? Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father is in heaven. And then when he knew who he was, then Jesus pronounced to him, when Peter knew who Jesus was, then Jesus turned around and pronounced to him who he was. You have to find yourself in him. And when you know who Jesus is, you're going to figure out who you are. The eyes of your understanding will be enlightened when you know the hope of his calling. When you know his calling, you'll figure out your calling. When you know who he is, you can figure out who you are. And the only way, listen, you can come to church and you can hear me preach, but what you need is a revelation of Jesus. You need a revelation of who he is, what Jim was talking about. You've got to know somebody. This Bible is what we study, but this book came from somebody's mouth. Every word was breathed by God himself. And so you need to trace this word. Yes, I'm a big doctrine preacher. I am. I like doctrine. I love good doctrine. I think the word of God is the most important thing, is what you build your life on. But if I just look at principles, what Jim was saying, I love that so much because I'm big on this. You've got to, like the Apostle Paul, like I said, he didn't say, I know what I believe. He said, I know who I believe. A lot of people know what, but you got to know who. You got to take this back to his mouth. You got to take this back to a person. I like what Jim, I know somebody. And see, when you know somebody, when you know him, then you can figure out who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, then this is what's going to happen. On that revelation, I'm going to build my church. I'm going to give you keys so whatever you bind, it will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loose. So in other words, Peter found out who Jesus was, and then Jesus pronounced who he was. It's very important. All right, so that was a good review, and I got 12 minutes to tell you some other stuff. Hallelujah. All right, so, here comes some more, a little more review from some other things we've done. This is how important this is. Listen, if you see yourself wrong, if you really don't know who you are, it's going to mess up what God's trying to get to you. And I believe this whole series is God trying to position you again to receive something pretty big this year. God's trying to position you to know who you are. And when you know who you are, then somebody can't lie. They can't lie about you. When you know who you are. Because who you are, you're the outgoings of you, you're talking, what you do are that they proceed out of that. Because remember Numbers 13:33. Remember the spies. Remember, they came back. What did they say? I know we looked at this a lot, but I want to remind you again. What does it say? Numbers 13:33. They said this. We were in our own sight as what? And so were we in theirs. How did they identify themselves? What did they think they were? They thought their purpose was to be a little hop and fly and bug. They thought that we're grasshoppers. We're bugs. They're giants. They're warriors. And because of how they identified themselves, it wasn't the walled cities, it wasn't the giants, it wasn't even, because people will say, well, it must not have been the will of God. It must not have been the will of God. It was definitely the will of God. He said to them, because Joshua and Caleb said, they're bread for us. And nothing changed except for the people and how they saw themselves. God didn't change. The walled city didn't change. The giants didn't get smaller. The only thing that changed was how they saw themselves, and that affected their faith. Because as we're grasshoppers, so how you see yourself is how you talk about yourself. There is a war between your ears. The devil needs you to see yourself a certain way. And if he can get you to see yourself a certain way, you'll start talking a certain way and acting a certain way. And God needs you to see yourself a certain way. He needs you to talk about yourself a certain way and be a certain way so that he can do big and wonderful things in your life. Can I get an amen? So that's how we're going to do that. Let's look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. How are we going to do that? Because if how I see myself, can you all see that? Are you all with me? Can you see how important it is how you see yourself? Can you see how important it is how you talk about yourself? Because see, it determined whether they went in and received what God had for them or didn't. It determines how you see about yourself, what you think about yourself. And you got to find that in your Creator. And every one of us, there's a plan that God has for our life. And now we're looking at ourselves and we're seeing ourselves. Let's look at this. James 1:22, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I don't want to run into it. Verse 23, for if you be a hearer of the word and not a doer, it's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So he's beginning to talk about the word of God as a mirror. Okay, verse 24. For he beholds himself in a mirror. He goes his way. Straightway forgets who he is, what manner of man he was. Verse 25, but who looks into the, who does what? Looks, talking about it as a mirror, looks into the perfect law of liberty. So the Bible, the word of God, especially the epistles to you and I, are the perfect law of liberty. And continues therein, and not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we know that the word of God is like a mirror that as you look into it, it reflects. So I hear people talk about it this way, and it's true. The mirror, when you look into it, you can adjust yourself. But what are you trying to adjust yourself? It's a different kind of mirror. You're adjusting yourself what you see in the mirror. So it's not exactly like a natural mirror because I'm looking at this mirror and I see that I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed enforcing my healing. I'm not the poor trying to get rich. I'm the blessed enforcing what Jesus has already, because see, it's already done. I'm not trying to talk him into it. I'm not using my faith to get God to do something for me that he hasn't already done. My faith is receiving who I am. I'm not trying to have him turn me into somebody else. The word will do that, but he's trying to do it from the place of, this is who I made you to be. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. So I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, I'm a new creature. That old stuff is passed away. And when the old stuff comes, trying to make me think that's who I am again, what do I got to do? I'm going to say, no, that's not who I am. That's not the picture I got. And so I look into the mirror. I look into the law of liberty. And so I'm looking at it and I'm adjusting. But also when I look into it, it reflects back to me who I am. It reflects back to me and it changes me. I like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Amplified Classic. It says, all of us with an unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the word of God as in a mirror. So the word of God as in a mirror. What is it doing? It says, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. How many of you know the presence of God will change you? One of the reasons we have saturation meeting is because we want you to get saturated with the word, but also the manifest presence of the glory of God. When we get into the mirror of the glory of the Lord, we're constantly being transfigured. What are we doing? We're being changed into his image, into his likeness. Who is he making us to be? He's making us to be in his image and his likeness. Who are you? I am a son of God. I was created to rule and reign in this life. I am a carbon copy. Now, I know Jesus is in the class all by himself, but I am a carbon copy of my Father, of my Lord Jesus. I am alive unto God. I'm not Jesus, you're not Jesus, but we're sons of God. We may not be in the same category, but we're sons and daughters of the Most High. And you got to look at yourself that way. And we're constantly being transfigured into his own, I didn't say it, he said it, into his own image. In ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Thank God, I'm being changed. What does that? The mirror that reflects to me, and that this word is alive. Hallelujah. This word is alive, and it's transfiguring us. It's changing us. Glory to God. The Bible says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What God needs you and I to do is change what we think about ourselves. Change how we see ourselves. And the only way you're going to properly see yourself is looking in the mirror. The only way you and I are going to properly see ourselves so that we can be who God ordained us to be is we're going to have to keep looking in the mirror. And it's not just a glance into the mirror. It's really kind of living in the mirror. Because if I go away, the Bible says I'll be, if I just hear it and I don't really live here, then I'm going to be a forgetful hearer, and you're going to deceive yourself. And what you're going to do is you're going to go back to being who you were. And that's what happened with the children of Israel. Even though God did signs, wonders, and miracles, they walked across the Jordan. They walked across, I mean, they walked. He did everything for them. And yet when they walked into the promised land, they spied it out. They went back to their image as of being slaves. And they said, we're grasshoppers. What you think about yourself is very important. You got to know. You got to know who you are. Listen, does anybody know they have an enemy? Do you know your enemy is serious about taking you out? Not just me. He's serious about taking you out. Right? And remember, that's what, remember when those sons of Sceva, what a bad name. I think I'd have changed it. The sons of Sceva, remember what they went to cast that devil out? I was telling the first service and I wasn't going to do it again, but it came up, so I'll do it again. When I first started in the ministry, after Bible school, I used to go to the nation of Brazil all the time. And there, when the places we would go, they were helping a lot of people who had mixed their Catholicism with voodoo. And so a lot of mess was going on. And so where we would go, there was a lot of people who needed real deliverance. Not pretend demons, real demons. I remember one time we went, Mama Nancy, she took half the team and went to another church, and she left me with half the team, and I was in charge, and we were somewhere, and suddenly I saw part of my team were ministering to this little sweet little Brazilian girl, you know, speak Portuguese, just sweet little looking thing, and then suddenly they were like dragging her up in front of me, and like this is not a sweet little something wrong here. And so they put her in front of me, and I stood in front of her and went to say in the name of Jesus. And when I did, a deep voice spoke out of this sweet little girl and said, if you make me come out of her, I'm going to come into you. And I thought, not today. Not today. And I told it to shut up and come out. It did. It did visit me that night in my hotel room, and I told it to do the same thing. Get out. Amen. That's why the demon spoke out of them and said, Jesus, I know. Paul, we've had some run-ins with him, and I know him too. But who are you? See, even the devil wants to know if you know who you are. Do you know who you are? I mean, you may never have an experience like that, but you better know who you are. You and I have to submit ourselves unto God so that we can resist. You have an enemy. You have an enemy. And we don't want to talk about him and give the devil glory in what he's doing. I'm just saying this. He better know your name. So the next year I was going back, I was in my mom and dad's house. That's why I was traveling out of their home. And I was getting ready to go back to Brazil. And I was laying in bed just thinking about the trip. And suddenly the Holy Ghost said to me, they know you're coming. And I thought, is that good news? But they did. And we win every time. Every time. Because we've got a name. And you got to know who you are. Do you know who you are? See, you may never run. I'm not talking about going hunting for things like that. I'm just saying the devil shows up in a circumstance. The devil shows up in your with a sniffle. The devil shows up trying to take something from you. You got to answer him. You got to answer the circumstances. You got to answer the sniffle. You got to answer. Listen, even the flu. I mean, this is a messy strain. And you don't get good at lying down and just taking something so you can have a day off of work. Come on, resist everything the devil's doing. Resist it. Resist it. And do it from a place of knowing who you are. Who are you? Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? You need to be able to answer. I'm a child of the Most High God, and I've got a name that's above every name. And at the name of Jesus, no curse can come upon me. You send it my way, it's going to come back sevenfold, wrap itself around you, and cling to you, and it won't come off. You got to know who you are. Well, aren't you afraid to make the devil mad? He's already mad. He's going to hell. He's already mad. I don't think you should make him madder. He's not, there's no degree to that. He's mad. He's mad. He's a defeated foe. Until you know who you are, you'll be defeated with him. He'll keep you running. He's supposed to be running from you, not you running from him. But you got to know who you are. Do you know who you are? Come on, somebody say, I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm sanctified. I'm a child of the Most High. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's who I am. That's who I am. Now listen, when you don't know who you are, it affects everybody around you. When you begin to look at yourself wrong, it'll affect everybody around you. One of the things I remember, I was coming home. We were on a missions trip, and I was coming home. And there was a guy sitting next to me, and he was having a lot of trouble in his marriage. And the Lord spoke to me right there, and he said, the reason he's having so much trouble is because he doesn't even like himself. He hates himself. Listen, how many of you know the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself? How many of you know your spouse is your closest neighbor? Who's my neighbor? Everybody's your neighbor. But if you're married, you got a really close one. Now, I'm grateful my neighbor and I, Rhonda, my wife, we not only like one another, we love one another. We're still best friends. People ask us all the time about our empty nest thing. I love my daughter, but it ain't nothing but a thing. It's all, you know, it's good. Hallelujah. We can go on vacation wherever we want. We can do whatever we want. We can eat whatever we want any night we want. We don't have to ask nobody else. And it's awesome. It's awesome. I love her, and I'm, you know, she's good. We got her ready. She's good, and I love it being around her. But this is all right. Hallelujah. But if you can't say that, in other words, you don't like your neighbor, your spouse, a lot of times you have to look and say, because a lot of times when you're hurt or you don't like you, you strike out at the people closest to you. Who are you? Well, see, in some ways then, what I'm talking about is you're going to have to get some things fixed in you. Like, let's just say the last four jobs you had, if your boss, you just thought they were the worst, awful, most awful thing, and they didn't know what they're doing. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Maybe your last four bosses were not the problem. If you think all the waiters and waitresses of Madison County are inept, you can't go to any restaurant without getting good service. Maybe they're not the problem. Maybe if no one likes to go out to dinner with you because you're a volcano waiting to erupt on somebody, maybe it's not the cook. Maybe it's not the restaurant. Maybe it's you. I'm just saying, it's something to look into. This side don't want to look into it. This side's okay. All right, go over here and preach. Hallelujah. I'm just saying we all need to look into it. Because listen, when you know who you are, it changes your thinking, it changes your talking, it changes your attitude. And if you can't love people around you, then you can try to change all them. You can do everything. But really, the change needs to happen within you. And it starts with knowing who you are. It really does. It starts with knowing who you are. It starts by looking in the mirror. You know, since we're not going to have time to get into this, I was going to end this talking about, and I'm not saying, how many of you know none of us have arrived? I've not arrived. You've not arrived. We're all still under progress, right? God's still working on all of us. Thank God. But a lot of times, when you don't know who you are, When God comes to you with something, how many know if the Lord comes to you with something, then he's going to give you the grace and the ability to do it? I mean, if he asks you to do something, you can do it. If he wants you to be something, you can be it. And we're going to look at these three guys. We're going to look at Moses. We're going to look at Jeremiah. We're going to look at Gideon, all Old Testament. But when the Lord came to each of them, they all had excuses of why they couldn't do it. And that's what happens when we don't see ourselves right. That's what the children of Israel, they made excuses. Their walled cities are there. The giants are there. We're nothing but grasshoppers. And so what happens is, if you look at yourself, how many of you know, I know this about me, in myself, I can't do anything. In myself, I really don't know a whole lot. In myself, I can't be anything. In myself. But I let go, that dude, he died a long time ago. I put flowers on that, and I ain't never going back. He's dead. And I'm not in me anymore. I'm in him. And when you begin to look at yourself right, then it changes everything. Now, I'm not saying along the journey, I haven't had many opportunities. But I'm just telling you, when God asks you to do something, you have to get rid of the excuses. And when you see yourself wrong, you'll have a lot of excuses. Moses had about 6 excuses. And God had an answer for every one of them. He's like, who am I going to say that sent me? And he said, tell them I am sent you. He said, I'm not eloquent. I'm not going to be able to speak. I mean, God had, he had a solution for everything. And I'm telling you, it was a long time ago, we were in the A-frame. I don't know what the Lord had asked me to do. But I was just in one of those places where I just didn't think we could do it. And so I began to give the Lord. Have you ever helped the Lord out when he asks you to do something? You can get him a list of why it can't be done. We can't do this and we can't do that. How many know if the Lord asks you to do something, that means he's given you the grace to do it. If the Lord is telling you you can be something, that means he's going to give you the ability and the power to do it. And he's going to change you and get you to a place where you're ready to do it. So I remember, he came to me with the question. This is one of those questions when the Lord asks you a question you don't really know the answer. He asked me, he said, Mark, do you know what an excuse is? I kind of thought I did, but I don't know. I don't remember, you know. He said, an excuse is nothing more than an excuse. Stop it. In other words, when we all have inadequacies. See, I can't even say the word right. We all have inadequacies. We all have things that we're not the greatest at. We all have things that we wish we could change. But wishing's not going to change anything. Now listen to me. I'm not talking about the excuse of sin. That's not an excuse. You've been cleansed. You've been redeemed. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken you. I'm not talking about living in sin. I'm talking about how you see yourself. Like when the Lord gives you something, I can't do that. I can't, that's not who I am. If the Lord's asking you to do something, you can. And you will do it. You can do it. But we have to get past our excuses. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Because when you know who you are, then you know where your confidence comes from, and those excuses fade away because you know it's him, not you. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. See, it's, you know, well I just got to tell the truth about myself. That's all I want you to do, is tell the truth about you. I want you to quit talking about the facts about you. I want you to start talking about the truth about you. Well, I did this and it didn't work. I did this and it didn't work. Yeah, but what does God say about you? Who does the Lord say you are? He says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He said old things have passed away and everything's new. He said you're complete in the beloved. In him I live and move and have my being. Amen. I was a sinner, just like all of you. And I got a hold of God's amazing grace. And now I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I'm righteous, and I'm holy, and I'm sanctified. just like you. We're all there. But when you see yourself correctly, you think about yourself correctly, you look into the mirror and it reflects who you are, then you can begin to do what God has called you to do. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? God wants to know if you know. The devil's going to come check, find out if you know. And people all around you are going to want to know who you are. Now listen, I want to encourage you one more time. When the devil starts kicking against you, when the devil starts messing with you, you know, one of the ways to get him to shut up is get somebody born again. Get into the kingdom of darkness and pull somebody out. Go find somebody who's backslidden and get them back to the Lord. Get them back in church. If the devil's messing with you hard, mess back with him. Get somebody born again. Introduce Jesus to somebody. Lay hands on someone. Let the healing power of God go into them. Just do those things that you know to do. I'm telling you, God's got big plans for your life. This year, He is situating you to receive all that He has for you. Amen.